Hey out there, buddy, and welcome to Caffeination 447. This is the, let me see what I even named it. I can't even remember. This is the forgetful edition, preoccupied edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. It's kind of apropos named. Yeah, there's other things happening. We all know it. There's other things happening in everybody else's life as well. So we're going to get on down to the nitty and the gritty in just a little bit. You are, of course, listening to the wonderful podcast known as the Caffeination Podcast. We are your high-octane source for caffeine culture and technology news. Hopefully it's a little bit of entertainment to go along with all your nerdy loves that we like to try and put out there. A little high-octane stuff. So the high-octane is obviously coffee. It's obviously late at night when I'm recording this, and we are rocking a nice cold-brewed chuck full of nuts tonight. There's nothing really flavorful and special. I have to get my rear end outside and actually do some coffee roasting in order to get this the gourmet quotient back into the caffeination layer. We just haven't had a chance to recently. So we have a plethora. I kind of, again, forgot what I was saying halfway through that little thing. we have a plethora of stuff coming up that's not quite out yet, but just to give you a little bit of a sample, we are preparing a video for cold brewed coffee. We are preparing a fun video on how to actually do a couple other things. I know I wanted to redo my coffee roasting video because I didn't get it quite down right. This time I think I'm going to reduce the noise and actually do a voiceover so that way I can get a lot of good footage, reduce the noise, because you don't need to hear a popcorn popper going the entire time. And this way I can focus on actually doing the right thing as opposed to doing some other stuff. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. We have a lot of really cool stuff coming up. We just want to make sure we get the little backlog of awesome stuff out there as well. So we're going to try and get on through this. Just remember, if you're interested in the Summer of Podcast 2 contest, is heading on over to podcastmadness.com. That is a fantastic way to get yourself in on some fantastical prizes that are over there. A ton of different shows have all agreed to create get in there and create a little cross-site promotion so that you can go around and find all the other different shows that are actually doing this. There's a ton of shows over there. I'm not entirely sure how many we have at this given point in time, but I know there was upwards of 20 different shows that are all giving out codes. Everybody has agreed to give out prizes. It is a fantastic way to get yourself some swag for the summer, and you can head on over to podcastmadness.com. The code is EDUCATE. That's you can spell it yourself. I mean, hey, if you are educated, you can spell it, right? My brain isn't entirely in gear, so I'm not about to attempt to spell things live and on the air, unless it's right in front of me. You can also go back and listen to the backlog of the Cafe Nation podcast, specifically the first week in July before all the craziness really began, and there's a fun little extra code word hidden in those episodes as well. Cannot rebroadcast at this particular point in time, but you are more than welcome to head on back there and actually check it out. All the drawings will take place the second or third weekend in October, so you still got a little bit of time, but make sure you get in, vote early and often, just like a normal election, alright? Just wanted to make sure you remembered the Cafe Nation is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create Child's Day family-friendly and edumacational content. Everybody is listed over at techpodcast.com. We have a fun little show for you today. It's not too long, not too short, so it's just enough to kick you in the pants for a Monday morning, because I know most Monday morning is going to kick me somewhere. I'm not sleeping right now, so I gotta highly caffeinate and repeat. That's about all we can do right now. I'd like to mention the fantastic sponsor for today's show. Today's show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. You have important business contacts that are on the West Coast, the East Coast, South, North, everywhere. Everybody has business that stretches out beyond the boundaries of their own small little town right now, and it's part of because of globalization. It's part of because business is moving quicker, business is spread out, and you need to make sure you're in contact with everybody. Everybody has to be on the same page. But the problem is, traveling is incredibly expensive and time consuming. That's why I actually recommend GoToMeeting, to hold your meetings online. It allows you to get that one-on-one interaction that you crave and that you need to run a business efficiently, but it reduces the extra junk that gets in the way. That's why GoToMeeting is fantastic. It allows you to set up meetings in advance or just start one on the fly. Everyone just logs on to GoToMeeting.com and they can see your desktop on their computer screen. It's unlimited meetings for one flat rate. I've used GoToMeeting. It's unbelievable, I gotta tell you. So my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For this special offer, please visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. It's great to be working with a sponsor just like GoToMeeting because they are a great sponsor to work with. They have a lot of really good products that are out there, so I just highly suggest that you head on over there and check them out. We have a ton of cool stuff that's floating through the ether right now. I should probably have worked out a practice schedule before this, or at least collected some of the stuff. But you know what? That's just the way we roll here. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, hey, maybe you even have a new coffee recipe or something you'd like to point me to or suggest that I put on the site, please feel free to email me at caffeination@gmail.com. You can also find this and all the other episodic friends over at caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. I've been told by our fun, loving listeners from the South that I tend to speak a little quickly, especially when I'm spelling things, especially when I spell things I know how to spell. So that's what that was in response to. I mean no disrespect to anybody. I just have a tendency to speak quicker the more caffeinated I am. And right now we have about 3 cups of coffee in the past hour. I don't know why. I just kept going down smooth, so we had to go with the flow. You know what I mean? All right, now we're into the meat and the potatoes here at the Caffeination Podcast, the Geek Cruft section. I've been told that cruft is an uncommon word, and you know what? I don't care. I love what it represents. It's geek junk. It's just bits of detritus that lay around a normal geek's lair, and this is the Caffeination lair that I'm recording in, so this is the cruft that I find on my screen. You too can join the dark side. Not only do they have cookies, apparently they now have spiffy hood ornaments. If you have a car that actually has a place for a hood ornament, or even if you don't, there's a fun little hack that's actually over at nerdapproved.com. It's also from geeksaresexy.net. I'm definitely going to have to check out that site. But it is a chromed out stormtrooper skull, or stormtrooper helmet, rather, that's on the front of a Buick. And that is just fantastic. It all started with a McDonald's stormtrooper bobblehead. And McDonald's is a pretty popular place in the house right now, just because my son loves the superhero toys. And they're rocking a little Wolverine Captain America. And unfortunately, for Silver Surfer fans out there, we had to turn the Silver Surfer toy back in because he just doesn't rate in our house. I don't actually know anybody who loves Silver Surfer. So, but Silver Stormtrooper heads on the front of your car, now that is big pimping. All right, moving right along. The next little thing, also from nerdapproved.com. Now this is kind of like a Dante's Inferno, a collection, a mass of different geek stuff all climbing up. It's actually a sculpture. It's called a toy lamp. There's a ton of different stuff that's in here that's from Pixar. So the only real thing that I would actually argue about with this, at least the one view that they have, I would argue that it should probably be a Luxo lamp. At least that's because that's the Pixar mascot, I guess, the official mascot of them. And it's also a fantastic lamp. I have two of them in the house right now. They're the fun little engineering lamps, I guess you could call them, with the armature that moves back and forth and just stays in position, little springs going on. It makes it look a little bit geekier down here. But you know what? I'm pretty sure if I tried this thing out there, it would be incredibly geeky as well. I can see a Stormtrooper. I can see Snake Eyes or Spider-Man. I'm not entirely sure. A whole bunch of toys all climbing up in a massive pile attempting to get to the top of the lamp. I really love this thing. It just, I guess if you shifted the geekery in one direction or another, I think it would probably be a little bit better, because I mean you can be a geek of so many different things, and it's funny how like anime geeks laugh at Lord of the Rings geeks, or vice versa. You have people all over who just like, you know what, I love cartoons, but what you like is ridiculous. And it's pretty funny to play off those different things going back and forth. All right, now, I love Monopoly. I'm pretty sure a lot of other people hate it. I love Monopoly specifically because a while ago my parents bought me the Lord of the Rings Monopoly. Now, I am a huge Lord of the Rings geek. This has nothing to do with that. This Monopoly has an end point. If you play with their variant of the game, one of the two number ones on the dice is actually a giant red eye of Sauron. And the idea is that you place a gold ring, which is included in the box, not real gold by the way, on the first property, and every time that eye Eye of Sauron comes up, the ring advances all the way through. Yes, there's certain things that happen as it goes throughout the game, but it speeds the game along, and it actually makes it a little bit more playable. So you, if you're in that position where you've been in jail 6 times, and you actually just hope to land on Community Chest or something like that, so you don't have to go through the mine of hotels or anything, then you can then you can really appreciate the idea that there is a finite end to that game. Well, You Build It Monopoly is something similar. They use hexagonal tiles and allow you to build your own version of Monopoly with your own number of tiles, and there's actually other things. So you can have a classic 60-minute version of Monopoly, or you can leave out certain properties, or you can just change the flow of the entire game, which is pretty cool. I like this idea. It also updates things, so you have houses, hotels, skyscrapers, and factories. I'm not entirely sure what the factories are, but for only $19.99, this is probably an interesting deviation for your game night that you might want to try. We've been playing Settlers of Catan with our group of friends, and I love that game. I have to buy the expansion pack so we can include other larger groups of friends, because Settlers of Catan, after you get past the first game where everybody's going, this is ridiculous, how many rules are you going to be introducing? Why do we have to rebuild the board every time? They're like, oh, wow, this is really cool. This is really fun. And it gets really kind of vindictive. It's like Risk without the 6 hours of gameplay. All right, next little thing we got for you from over at Ogizmo.com. You've heard of free in-room Wi-Fi. How about a model railroad setup inside your hotel room? Over in Japan, they are very fan-oriented. So if you are a densha otaku, let me try and repronounce that again. If you are a densha otaku or train spotter, then you are serviced by this hotel over in Japan. It's actually called the Washington Hotel in a town I can't pronounce and don't want to attempt to, or in a section of Tokyo that I don't want to pronounce. But they basically, every single room comes with its very own uniquely styled 2x3 meter L-shaped platform. This is fantastic. We have a train platform that's currently sitting in my parents' house that I'm hoping to move into this house for the Christmas season, or at least to kind of shake things up. I loved playing with it. It's a labor of love. I've seen people who have entire rooms in their basement dedicated to model trains, and anytime you can see something like that, maybe even if you don't yourself have enough time to spend building one of those or enough placement to actually put it, the idea that a hotel caters to people like that, like, hey, you know what, you love model trains and you don't have time to build one yourself, why don't you come to our hotel? That's just a really neat and interesting concept that I could definitely get behind. Another concept that I can get behind is actually retro ads or retro flyers for current things like Facebook, YouTube, Skype, and all these other wonderful things. Except I'm much more the propaganda poster guy. I love the style of the World War I and World War II propaganda posters, you know, defeat the oncoming enemy horde with the very iconic and striking poses and the very very consistent color palette all throughout. But you know, a vintage ad, like a futuristic vintage ad, if you would imagine, like, you know, a 1950s 1960s aesthetic on the ad copy, and then except they're imagining forward. So Facebook striking miraculous social team up, and your films will last forever on YouTube. The champion addresses the champion address on the internet, and then you have Skype, the fabulous voice system able to put family together, and they have all these really great and wonderful little gadgets and gadgets on there. So I just wanted to head you on over to LaughingSquid.com to find those, because it is really, really cool. If I just had like a wall of geekery down here in the Caffeination Lair, I would definitely print some of these out and put them up there, right alongside the propaganda posters for video games, because I think they're that cool. All right, moving on to SlipperyBrick.com, we have Turn Any Surface Into a Racetrack That's With Tape. Well, this is kind of like duct tape, and there's a car that comes along with it, and you basically lay the duct tape out there. I'm not sure how sticky this stuff actually is, but the race cars actually move along the tape, so it's really cool. But it's not as cool as some of the other concepts I've seen. I've seen other concepts that actually have, like, cars that follow the line. So I'm not really, it says the tape kit actually doesn't keep your car's wheels on the track, so it's a little bit disconcerting. But you know what? If you have a kid who loves cars, you could do no better than actually covering his entire floor with this tape. Could you? I remember we had a rug in my room when I was younger that had tiny little pathways in it, and I used to, you know, try and drive my Matchbox cars around through the pathways because, hey, that was a road to me. And now my son has a rug in his room that has, you know, a tiny little network of roads. So I'm actually seriously thinking about buying this just to lay down on his floor in a different pattern or something like that, just so he has like a little runway, and it's uniquely his. And you could pull it up and you could refinish the floor a little bit later on, but you know, it's just really, really kind of cool. No word on the price on this, but it's called My First Autobahn, which I think it is anyway. Now, yeah, it might be. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Sometimes you're not sure if a product is actually named the small, pithy thing that they have listed under it or if it's something else. But yes, this is actually called My First Autobahn. So I think that's pretty awesome. So we're just going to move right along here. Next little thing we got for here, laser tripwire for your photo. Takes a photo of you and then uploads it to Twitter. You got to love when spy products reach into the 20th or 21st century here. I remember spy tools or spy toys or whatever they were called from when I was a little bit younger. You had the binoculars that had a compass and everything in there. You had the motion detector. We need some of these for the cats. Not necessarily that it takes a picture and that would be the deterrent, but the fact that it would flash if the cat ever jumped into the crib for the baby or something like that. My wife's really seriously ready to shave the cats at this point, so I think maybe a motion sensor that set off a flash every time they walked into an area would probably be a little bit better. Either that or hire somebody to sit in the room with a squirt gun. But I just thought this was pretty cool. It's an interesting little hack you yourself can do. So it's over at hackandmod.com. The link I have is the place I originally found it, over at slipperybrick.com. And then second to last, but most certainly not least, we have floppy disk fridge magnets. Now you can get a whole set of these. These are your standard 3.5-inch floppy disks. They have magnets built into them, and then you hold them on the fridge, and then not only do they hold things as traditional magnets do, but the metal clips on the floppy disks actually hold fun little notes. Here's the thing that I'm looking for. You get a set of 5 of them for $16. Now, if you have floppy disks laying around your house, why wouldn't you just, slide a magnet on in there, glue a magnet on the front? I don't know. I like the idea. I really do. I love the idea. But I would be much more, supportive of using or reusing older stuff and cruft that you have around your office. For instance, one of my pen holders on my desktop, one of my organizers on my desk at work, is actually a series of floppy disks that are all glued together in formation. And it actually is on top of a CD holder. So, I mean, it's this great little construct that I made because I was working on a problem one day and needed to kind of take my head out of the game, so to speak. So I love the idea. Unfortunately, if you're lazy enough, hey, go for it. But, I would much rather make my own, thank you very much. Especially if you could actually use discs that had a special meaning to you. So, if you were using like a DOS 3.3 disc or something like that, I just think that would add something, a little extra panache to it. And now, unfortunately, the last and most certainly not the least little bit of cruft that we got going for you here, the FCC has now weighed in on the vast rumor of Google and Verizon coming to a deal. Here's what we know so far. There are rumors that are out there that Google and Verizon are trying to work out a deal where Google would drop its lawsuit to ensure net neutrality. Now, Google has sued to basically create a precedent that the FCC would rule that net neutrality exists in wireless carrier space as well. This deal would actually be brokered between Verizon and Google, that where Google would get the standard net neutrality, which is already in existence for landlines and basic internet connections, and then there would be freedom to regulate bandwidth, to shape thing packets, to drop connections, and to basically allow people to pay for tiered service, not pay for metered service, which was what a lot of normal users think that is happening. Well, of course you'd pay for the amount of bandwidth you use. No. What they're saying is a site, like for instance, caffeination.com versus another site like totallycooltech.com, which is a great website run by Norbert Davis. Now, if I paid Verizon, let's just say $70,000 a year, obviously I don't have that or I wouldn't be running a tiny little podcast like this, but still, I pay them $70,000 a year to make my website load significantly quicker than his. Well, if he comes along, he can up the ante. It's basically a blackmail system where you're trying to blackmail competitors into paying the network carriers to allow for advantageous access. That's not what you want to have happen in a free and open internet. You should be able to go and listen to his podcast. You should be able to come back and listen to mine twice. And it's all in the same good. You should go back to the people you enjoy listening to, not to the people that you know you can get quicker. I mean, it completely flies in the face of net neutrality. It completely flies in the face of everything else. But the problem is everybody seems to be forgetting that this, at this point, is just a rumor. Here's the other problem. The FCC has no real power. So even if they, you know, shake their finger, wag the finger, and do whatever they want at any deal that comes out, they don't really have the power to do very much. I mean, there's no law in existence saying that this is the case or this is not the case, because people keep going back and forth on it. So whatever happens is probably going to end up costing consumers something. So there you go, and here we are. I'm not entirely sure where this is going to shake out. I'm not in any way endorsing one side or the other, although I think if you're going to be paying for access for on a site-by-site basis, you know, you might as well just throw the entire internet in the trash can at that point. You know, it's not going to be worth anything. You're basically setting up a bidding war to get content out there, and we all know who's going to win that. The people with actual pockets, not the people who produce the best content necessarily. So, all right, moving on to the food and caffeinated bits. We have a wonderful little story from over at thegreenhead.com of multiple mini steak thermometers. These are tiny little meat thermometers that you put into whatever cut of steak or meat that you're actually cooking on the grill. This is really, really cool. I love this idea. Now, it's kind of cool. There's four of them, and you can rock out like that. But now, that kind of paled in comparison to the next story, which takes it one step further. These are four individual digital probes that you can stick into whatever you're cooking, and then they get read at something called the steak station. Now, the steak station is actually a set of four little dials that actually have rare, medium, and well on it. This is for people who don't understand that the different temperatures at which meat reaches what level. So I like that. I wish there was a mode on the steak station to actually allow it to turn to just show you the temperature, so that you could have four different temperature monitors out there and have four different ideas of what the temperature was, as opposed to just a random range, it's between 135 degrees Fahrenheit and 170 degrees Fahrenheit. I think 170 is completely rare, is completely a Willy Doon, so to speak, and 135 is very rare, bloody kind of. 145 is medium rare. 165 is what everybody says the safe cooking. That's where there's no pink left. So there you go, and here we are. And then the next little thing we got for you is over at MuddyDogCoffee.com/WordPress.com for the Muddy Dog Roasting Company. They have a great little article that they wrote called Coffee Barbecue Dry Rub. Now, I love dry rubs. I use them extensively, usually ones that I create because I have a lot of spices laying around. But their coffee dry rub, I was kind of intrigued about it because it doesn't look like there's a lot of coffee in there. Apparently, it's more of a background flavor. But the cool thing about this is that it's kind of like a balance and a complete opposite end of how I usually make steak, which is listed over at the Caffeination Cooks. I do have to come clean. My coffee rub for the coffee steak is a once-in-a-while kind of thing, because I usually make the sweet and spicy steak that I teach you how to do over at Caffeination Cooks. So, I mean, if you're interested in how we do steak around here, it's usually the sweet and spicy. But if I want to throw in a little coffee kick, you can see the coffee actually being made. The steak is like dark brown before it's even cooked. It's pretty intense. So moving right along, we have yankodesign.com. I love Yanko's stuff, I'm not even gonna lie. And they have Yellow Looks Good on Coffee. This is basically just a link to a concept of a yellow coffee or yellow espresso machine. It's really kind of cool. It has like a little bit of a yellow submarine vibe to it. Kind of looks like a lot of the more interesting espresso and compact espresso machines that I've seen out there. It has a little Bauhaus design, kind of. It has a little tubular motion to it. And the funny thing about it is that if you actually look at it in a little bit of an abstract view, the circular warming plate for up on top that actually warms the Demitasse glasses looks more like a pottery wheel than anything. So I'm not entirely sure how feasible the entire design is. It would need to be incredibly heavy, and it would actually need to be like like strapped down to the desk quite well, because as you're kind of twisting the handle in there and out there, this whole thing would torque, and if it was all made of metal, I'm pretty sure it would heat up pretty good. So again, it's just a concept, and the next thing is just a concept as well. I told you we didn't have too much, and unfortunately this is the last little piece of information and lovely news that we got for you here. But this is Racy Tendencies for Coffee from over at Yanko Design. Somebody took the concept of a Ferrari helmet, I guess for motorcycles, for Formula One, for whatever it happened to be, and they somehow crufted and wedged an espresso machine into there. I love this concept. I think this is fantastic. Race fans and everybody else, first of all, espresso machines in and of themselves, I think, are beautiful. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of people who think that, you know, cooking equipment out in the middle of everywhere is the most beautiful way to display things. So having a well-designed bike helmet sitting on your kitchen counter might be kind of an interesting talking piece. And then especially when you flip up the visor and you have a Demitasse glass there, and you can create your own espresso. So you live fast, you drink fast, and it's just a high-octane world when you have a Ferrari espresso machine. So it's just a concept, but I thought this was a fantastic idea. So there we go, and here we are. That about wraps it up here for the Sunday edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We are preoccupied. I was a little bit out of there, but hopefully everything's going to work out. This is Caffeination 447, the preoccupied edition. Remember, you can find all this and the other episodes over at caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And any comments, feedback, suggestions, or hate mail you'd feel like throwing my general direction, you can do so at caffeination@gmail.com. Everything else can be found over at the wonderful homepage. And thank you ever so much for listening. And stay caffeinated, people.